Hello, and welcome to this podcast from Pastor Darren Cobb at Red House Baptist Church. You can discover more information about our church at redhousebaptistchurch.com.
Good to come and be here with the good folks at Red House Baptist this morning. I appreciate your pastor's heart so much, his love for missions, his love for you as a church family, and the preaching of the Word. But I know, as some of you heard, or as you were reading in your bulletins, as you kind of came and made your way in and saw that a representative from the Kentucky Baptist Convention was going to be here with you this morning, that some of you invariably, not in a malicious way, but just honestly, began to ask yourself, well, what's the deal with the Kentucky Baptist Convention? And why should we as a local church body really care about or want to give to this cooperative program that they're always talking about? Well, those are some really good and honest questions. We push them a little farther. Some of you would logically be wondering, I mean, what does CB have to do with me? Well, thank you for asking those questions, even if I did it on your behalf. We're going to hope that God will give us some clarity as we think about some very honest questions this morning as we spend some time together in God's Word. Because here's the thing, we'll never really understand the motivation and the drive behind the cooperative program unless we comprehend the gospel, why it is that Jesus came, and what it is that Jesus is wanting to do in and through His church today. And as you're going to see in just a moment, Matthew chapter 9, here the last few verses, provides us this wonderful snapshot of how Jesus Himself conducted ministry during those years that He was here with us on the earth. And that little snapshot, I believe, creates this compelling picture of what Red House can be today, of what God would like to be doing in and through our local churches in ever-increasing measure. And so this will be a fun time together as we remind ourselves of this model of ministry that we find in the Lord Jesus Christ. Matthew chapter 9, you found verse 35 by now. They have them, thankfully, on the screen for us. The Bible tells us that then Jesus continued to go throughout the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and affliction that was among them. When he saw the crowds, he was moved with compassion for them, because they were helpless and harassed like sheep without a shepherd. And then Jesus said to his disciples, "The harvest is truly plentiful, the laborers are few. Therefore, earnestly pray to the Lord of the harvest that He would send out more laborers into His harvest field." Holy Spirit, we pause, and in this moment, we come before You, our one true teacher, and we ask that just as You inspired the inerrant writing of Your Word many years ago through faithful men, that, Lord, You would illuminate our mind today, that we could see and comprehend the truth of this beautiful text, and more importantly, know how to live it out to the glory of the name of Jesus Christ, in which we have prayed. Amen. So our question is why should we care about or want to give to the cooperative program? Some of you here this morning don't even know what the cooperative program is. That's okay. We will navigate these waters together. Well, we would say, first of all, that we cooperate as God's people because as we begin to think carefully about the gospel and the Great Commission, we see that at its very core is this idea of cooperation. I do not think it's an overstatement at all to say to you as a local church, it would be impossible for you to even begin to fulfill the call of the Great Commission without an earnest and willing spirit of cooperation. Here's why. If we pull it back and we look at this from the broadest possible view, we would say that spiritually speaking, any legitimate expression of local church ministry, of church planning, of global missions, it's going to be, by its very definition, a cooperative effort, right? Because it will always be the people of God joining God in what He is already doing. Would you agree with that this morning? Practically speaking, we as Kentucky Baptists have also always understood this very practical common sense principle, that if that's true, the more then that we as the people of God are willing to come together, that we're willing to cooperate with one another, the more that we, for lack of maybe a more eloquent way to say it, as little c expressions of the church, are willing to come together for the sake of the big C church, well, the more that we're going to be able to accomplish together for His glory. That makes common sense to you as it does me? We could just do more together than any one church could ever hope to do alone. And so very quickly this morning through our text, I want to remind us of three motivations that historically have driven us as Kentucky Baptists to cooperation, that I believe are still valid and still inspire us to want to work together. Number one on your outlines, if you'd like to take some notes, they'll be simple, but maybe can help guide our thinking. First of all, we cooperate as Kentucky Baptists because there is always someone else who needs to hear about the love of Jesus for the first time. No matter where we go, there's always someone else that we're going to encounter who still needs to hear about the love of Jesus and, church, many of them for the very first time. So we look here in our text, verse 35, the Bible begins by saying, Jesus went throughout all the cities and villages. Some translations kind of remind us that He continued to go, showing that this was the common practice of our Lord and Savior. Now I'm going to pause there for one reason. I think if you and I were at home and we were just reading this text in our own personal Bible study, it'd be so easy to sort of just drive right by that opening statement, wouldn't it? In our desire to try to get to the heart of the text, maybe the meat of what these verses are teaching, it'd be so easy just to skim that phrase. And yet, church, it is so incredibly important. It shows us the great intentionality of Jesus. Luke 19, verse 10 tells us, Jesus came to seek and to save those who were lost. Is that not exactly what we see Him doing here in these verses? The Bible shows us very clearly that Jesus was doing everything that could be done to help as many people as possible in that greater area have an opportunity to hear and to respond, to put their faith in the gospel message. And is that not exactly what God has called us as a local church to be doing today? The Great Commission is our mission. And yet, as we gather for worship here this morning in the Commonwealth, we know that there are still literally billions. And we have to pause and let that reality resonate a little bit in our soul, who've still not heard the gospel for the first time. A number of years ago, I had the incredible high honor of serving as one of your international missionaries trying to plant churches among an unreached and, at that time, a previously unengaged people group there in the Amazon basin of Brazil, Quilombolas. And Quilombolas are a Maroon people group, just a way of saying that they are the modern-day descendants of escaped slaves. And so Quilombolas did what countless people did all over the Americas during that dark time of slavery. They did what you and I would do, right? They ran. They did anything they could to escape the horrors of that terrible type of oppression. And we see this, we know, globally, but an amazing thing happened in that vast Amazon rainforest. They learned over time that as long as they kept their community small and they kept them scattered about, that they were able to kind of continue to fly under the radar. And literally, church became lost to time. Brazil did not know that Quilombolas were a modern-day reality until the late 1980s. There was so many occasions I would be sitting with a Brazil pastor as we were trying to invite him and his local church to join us in trying to take the gospel to Quilombolas, when I would have a Brazilian pastor sort of interrupt and stop me and say, "Now wait a minute, Pastor Rob, are you telling me these people still exist? I mean, I read about them in books, I learned about them in school, but you're telling me these kinds of communities are still out there somewhere?" And of course, my answer would be, "Well, they're not out there somewhere, brother. They're actually right over here. Typically, just the other side of the river right over there. Man, they're in the boundary of your own municipality, of the county where you live and serve and where your church is trying to reach people with the gospel." But before any of us would begin to dare to judge our Brazilian brothers and sisters in Christ, I wonder this morning, is it possible that we as Kentucky Baptists have begun to develop some blind spots when it comes to evangelism? Is it possible that even right here in Madison County, right here where we live, that there could be large numbers of lost people all around us? Maybe even groups of lost people, and for some reason we're just not seeing them there? As we think about the example of Jesus this morning, it becomes abundantly clear, church, and please don't miss this, that those who are far from God will never be reached with the gospel until the people of God intentionally start looking for them. And so I'm going to ask you to do something at this point in our message. Would you do me a favor and just right there where you are, just close your eyes for a moment. Now don't start putting your stuff up. We're not leaving yet, but just for a moment, close your eyes. And here's what I'm asking you actually to do in this moment. Can you just try to see the face of that person that, as far as you know, doesn't yet know Jesus? We're just taking a moment with eyes closed so that we could focus. And what I'm asking you to do is just try to envision, with the help of the Holy Spirit, the faces of that friend, that family member, that co-worker who desperately needs to hear about the love of Jesus. Can you see them? Can you see their faces? Now here's what I'm going to ask you to do. I'm going to ask you to just take a moment, and I'm going to, on your notes there, your sermon outline, or somewhere else that makes sense to you, would you just write down that name? Would you just write down the name of the face that the Holy Spirit brought before your eyes as we did that exercise together? And as you're writing it down, I don't want to distract you from that, but I'm going to move forward. I just want to share with you that this is one of the amazing things about the cooperative program. You see, what the cooperative program does is it enables us to help one another get the gospel to some of the hardest to reach places on the planet, to some of the hardest to reach people groups that are still left out there somewhere in the world. They help us get the gospel to places that I'll never go, you'll never go, impacting the lives of people that we will never see this side of heaven. And just to give context for those of you who are learning or are relearning about the cooperative program this morning, because of the faithfulness of churches just like yours to pray and to give towards the cooperative program, did you know that as we gather for worship this morning, we are helping to support and fund over 3,600 international missionaries who are literally all over the corners of the globe this morning serving through your International Mission Board? You are also helping to support over 1,000 church planters through our North American Mission Board who are working not only to plant churches in the United States, but they also are working in Canada and Mexico, where you are passionate about and are trying to help plant churches, and in the U.S. territories. You probably didn't know this, but your church is also helping to support this morning 52 Kentucky Baptist church planters. Were you aware that you're a part of that? 52 Kentucky Baptist church planting families who are out all over the Commonwealth this morning trying to plant churches in some of the least reached areas of Kentucky. And here's one of the fascinating things to me. You understand how God is bringing the world to us. More than half of those 52 Kentucky Baptist church plants are ethnic ministries. Right here, just in the north central region of Kentucky alone, the part of the state that I serve, your church is helping to plant churches that are reaching Burmese, Chinese, Haitians, West Africans, Koreans, Hispanics from all kinds of countries, and about a half dozen other nationalities. Isn't that amazing? That is the incredible blessing of the cooperative program. We together can help get the gospel to the ends of the earth, places that none of us are ever going to go. But church family, it is my sacred responsibility to remind all of us this morning that if we're serious about the Great Commission, it equally requires that you and I are faithfully sharing the gospel in all the places we are going on a day-to-day basis. This morning, we have seen the faces of lostness. We know who they are. We've written down their names. But my question, church, is will we take the step of telling them about the love of Jesus? That's why we cooperate, no matter where we go, whether it's right here in this community, Richmond, the Castaneda, wherever we go, there's always somebody else who needs to hear about the love of Jesus for the first time. Second on your outlines, just taking that thought one step further, we cooperate together because there's always someone else who needs to experience or feel the love of Jesus for the first time, right? If they're going to say yes to the gospel that we are proclaiming, they need to experience the love of God in a practical way in their own life. Would you not agree? And so we see in verse 35, the Bible, verse 36, sorry, just a beautiful text. When Jesus saw the crowds, he was moved with compassion on them. And the verse describes a deep inner anguish. I wonder, are we still known for the compassion of Christ? Of all the things that your church may or may not be known for in this community, I ask, is our church known for having the compassion of Jesus Christ? One of the primary ways is, as your regional consultant, that I try to serve our regional churches as an expression of your church's ministry to your sister churches is we come along these plateaued or these declining congregations and we try to help walk them through a process of revitalization. And one of the things that continues to just dishearten me is when you're walking alongside of a church in need of revitalization, almost without any variation, what you will find when you get out in the community and start talking to people is the people who are living in these communities know virtually nothing about the churches that are in their communities. Because our churches have this tendency to focus inward and to become so consumed with ourselves and our own preferences that we end up isolating ourselves from the very community that God has called us to reach. And so, church, one of the things that I have started praying for ever since saying yes to this role as your regional consultant, almost on a daily basis, I prayed for you this prayer this morning. God, would you give us as Kentucky Baptists, would you give Red House Baptist Church the capacity to see people, to see lost people in the way that God sees them? The way that our text describes them, it tells us that folks who don't know the Lord, they live their daily lives harassed and helpless and living day to day almost like sheep without a shepherd. Because church, I'm convinced that if we could just see people the way that God sees them, that it would reawaken within us as the people of God this burden for lostness. It would reawaken within us the call to not just be some other church in a community somewhere, but instead to be God's church for the community where He has put us. Man, isn't that what you long for? Isn't that how you would want this community to see Red House Baptist Church? Well, so what does that look like then, Pastor Rob?
What does it look like if we are genuinely being the church of God for our community? Well, let's look at the text. Verse 35 tells us that as Jesus was faithfully going town to town, village to village, and he's teaching in their synagogues, and he's preaching the good news and proclaiming the gospel, what else does it say he was doing in that verse? Yes, he was also healing them of every disease and affliction that was in the ministry. Now, here's the principle for us. He was compassionately meeting the real needs of real people. At Just Churches, there's always somebody else who needs to hear. There's always another need out there that needs to be met, isn't there? And if we just be transparent with one another, that becomes very overwhelming when we start thinking about being the church for our community. Because the needs of our community, they always seem to go so far beyond the capacity of any one local church, don't they? Can I humbly remind you this morning? That's one of the main reasons that our forefathers had the insight to start the cooperative program. CP enables us to respond to needs that go beyond the capacity of any one local church body. And I don't have a lot of time here, but as a way of an example, did you know that your church is actively involved in orphan care? Did you know that? That as we gather for worship this morning, you're providing a home for roughly 1,250. The numbers are always in flux. The last report I got, though, was 1,250 boys and girls who'd have nowhere else to go this morning. But because of the ministry of Sunrise Christian Services that is funded primarily through the cooperative giving of churches like yours, they not only have a warm, safe place to be this morning where they can hear about the love of Jesus, but they are experiencing the love of Jesus. You say, well, how do you know that, Rob? Well, just a couple of weeks ago, one of our sister churches, I had this precious lady come to me at the end of the service with tears running down her cheeks. And she took me a hand and she said, I just want to say thank you for talking about Sunrise Christian Services because that's where I found Jesus. And I hugged her neck and said, that's why we do it. Hallelujah, church. You provide an immediate, compassionate response to countless people, literally all over North America, through our Kentucky Baptist Disaster Relief Teams. And some of you here are trained, and you're a part of those teams. And you know, man, they're ready to roll out in a moment's call. They were deployed almost 500 times last year alone, responding to hurricanes, responding to fires and floods, and everything in between. Listen, I don't have time, even in a bullet-pointed format, to try and list all the ways that your CP dollars are helping to meet the real needs of real people. But I mention it to say that's the point. The cooperative program is so much bigger than us because the kingdom is so much bigger than any one of us, and we just want to be a part of it. And so that's why we cooperate, because there's always someone else who needs to hear and experience the love of Jesus. And then finally, on our outlines, wrapping up with this thought, I would say, church, that personally, I believe that God is calling us to a higher level of cooperation than maybe you and I have seen in our lifetimes. Because if people are going to hear about the gospel in a life-changing way, then church, we got to get serious about getting the gospel to them today. Today is the day of salvation. So in your outlines, we cooperate because there's so little time. There's so little time for us to get the gospel to people before it is literally too late. Verses 37 to 38, after all this amazing ministry that Jesus has involved them in, Jesus looks to his disciples and he says, the harvest is truly plentiful, right? But the laborers are few. Therefore, earnestly pray to the Lord of the harvest that he would send out more laborers into his harvest field. Listen, church, there's no question. The harvest is plentiful. We understand that. Despite all that we've seen God do, still less than 2% of Quilombolas have a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ as we gather for worship this morning. You've seen the reality in the Bajio region of Mexico. And right here in your own county, research tells us that on any given Sunday, a day just like today, more than 77,000 people living in Madison County, more than 77,000 of your friends, relatives, and neighbors will not be found in any kind of church anywhere today. The harvest is so plentiful. And the power of the gospel, church, to change a life, to change a church, to change a community is so compelling. It's hard for me to understand why the workers are always so few. And yet our text reminds us this has always been our reality. Man, what do you do with that? How are we supposed to respond to that truth? What does Jesus command us to be doing in this text? To pray, right? And that's what we're going to do this morning. Here in just a moment, we're going to transition into our time of invitation. And church, this morning, many of you are going to come and you're going to find a place on this altar here this morning. And here's what we're going to do. We're going to pray for those names that you've written down. And we're going to pray for our community. And we're going to pray for lost people groups all around the world. That God would send out more laborers. That God would help us to be faithful, to pray and give, and also to be willing to go. Man, I'll never forget how the Lord took these verses and just helped me see the eternal truth behind them in just a powerful way. It would take us quite a while to get there, actually. About 6 hours in a 4x4 truck, another 3 hours navigating the Amazon, one of those holdout canoes you see on National Geographic and so forth. Probably another hour walking a trail, but we had finally found the home of Ginaldo and Maria. I'd heard about this couple. I'd heard how Ginaldo and Maria had come to know Jesus while attending a Baptist congregation in one of our cities. They were building a dam on one of the major tributaries of the Amazon. And Ginaldo was a stonemason by trade, so he had gone, found work there. But the dam was built, work had dried up, and they'd moved back to this tiny little Quilombola village where they were from. We spent the better part of that day just talking and getting to know them and listening to their story. And they shared with me, they said, "Pastor Rob, one of the main reasons we've come home, because to be honest, there were a lot better opportunities for us and our three teenage boys back in the city where we were living, but we've come home to Umatizal because we feel called by God to reach our people with the gospel." I smiled then like I'm smiling now. How can you not, right? And I said, "Man, that's great news. I'm here with these brothers and sisters from one of our churches in Itukwata, and we're willing to come every other week. We'd come more often, but man, there's a lot of time and expense involved in getting to you. But we'll come every other week for a season, and we're willing to go door to door and teach in the school and do whatever we can do to evangelize. Will you help us?" And I can remember just immediately saying, "I'm sorry. I said that entirely the wrong way. Would you give us the privilege of helping you to reach your people for Jesus?" And Maria began to cry in that moment. And that incredible awkwardness for a guy trying to think back through, what did I say? How was I misheard? Trying to process that moment. She composed herself, and Maria looked right at me, and she said, "Pastor, we've been home for over 2 years now, and we've not seen a single person give their life to Jesus. It is so hard here. And I've been praying. I've been crying out to God. God, won't you help us? God, won't you send somebody that can show us how to tell our people about Jesus?" And then she looked me right square in the eye, church, and I'll never forget as long as the Lord tarries. And she said, "Now here you are at our kitchen table. God's answer to our prayers." Ginaldo, in time, would become one of the first men we saw ordained as a pastor in our ministry among Quilombolas. And the church that we helped that family plant in their little community of Umatizal, we helped them plant another church in a separate community called Bailiki Centro. This morning, as you and I gather for worship, they've already worshiped there because of the time change. But this afternoon, they're going to be out in the fields trying to plant churches in 6 other Quilombola villages. Now hear this. Please don't miss this. You are a part of that. Is your faithfulness as a church to pray and to give that enabled our family, like countless other missionary families, to be able to answer the call to go and to simply be there, to be available, to be God's answer to Maria's prayers. But church, please hear this. We're not through yet. We're not through. There are still billions who've not even heard the gospel for the first time in their life. At church, you might not have thought about it before, but as far as we know, there might be millions of Marias scattered all across the world in these dark and difficult places, and they're praying and they're crying out to God. The other side of this verse, God wants you to send someone who can help us. God sends somebody that can show us how to reach this neighborhood, our people, for Jesus. Church, won't you join them this morning? That's our call to prayer. In just a moment, we're going to come and we're going to, in obedience to this text, we're just going to come right here and we're going to pray for those names you've written down, and we're going to pray for unreached people, and we're going to pray for lostness, and we're going to pray that God would send more people out. What does CP got to do with me? I don't want to distract us in this moment from the main thing, but let me address it. I understand that how much your church as a family chooses to continue investing in the cooperative program over time, that's a church decision. I understand that's a budgetary conversation. You have a voice in that. You need to use your voice. But ultimately, that's a church-level decision. But listen, how much of you're going to give back to God, that is entirely your decision. And the Holy Spirit of God in this moment has clearly commanded all of us to pray, but I also believe the Holy Spirit of God is calling many of us to a time of decision today. He's calling some of you to bring your life to Him and to let Jesus do what only He can do, and that is to heal your deepest hurts and to meet your deepest needs, as we see Him so clearly doing in this text. I've spoken primarily to our church family this morning, but if you're here today and you feel like you're so far from the Lord, like you feel like you're so far from God, I want you to know He has shown up and you're the person He's looking for. Would you just come to Jesus today and let Him change your life? He's calling some of us to another kind of spiritual decision. Some of you this morning, He's calling you to come and be a part of this church family, to join Him in what He wants to do through Red House Baptist for His glory. He's calling some of you, come and help us live out and show the compassion of Jesus in a changing way. I promise you, Pastor Gary would love to tell you how you can join this church. He'll be here at the front in just a moment. Some of us, He's just calling us to take a step. He's calling us to step up in a new way, to step out in faith. What exactly does that look like? I don't have any idea. Here's what I do know, though. The Holy Spirit's already made it clear to you. You already know what God is asking you to do this morning. That's not the question. The question is, will you say yes? How much of you are you willing to give back to Him? So here's what we're going to do. I'm going to pray for us in just a moment. And as I pray, the worship team is going to come as they do every week. And they're going to lead us, church family. I'm encouraging you, first word of the song, let's come, let's begin to pray. Pastor Gary will be here at the front for those who need to make other decisions. I'll be nearby. This is His time. Let's devote it to Him. Would you join me in prayer? Father, we stop now. And Lord, we thank You for the amazing example of Jesus, who, Lord, not only went town to town and village to village in these verses, but, Father, who sought us out when we were still far from You, not even aware that we needed You. You loved us enough that You pursued us, compassionately called us to You by faith. Oh, Lord, thank You. God, I believe there's someone here today that You're calling them to salvation. You've come today looking specifically for them. You're inviting them to find new eternal life by faith in Jesus. Father, there are others here who need to join this church. There are others, as we talked about, who have 100 different steps, God, that you're asking of us. All we can say is, in this moment, Lord, help us to be faithful. Help us to be obedient to whatever You would call us to do, for the glory of Your name, in which we pray. Amen. Church, let's stand. Let's move into this next time.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. We hope you were encouraged. Our mission at Red House Baptist Church is to exalt Christ, equip believers, and extend the kingdom of God. We invite you to join us for corporate worship on Sunday mornings at 9:15 or 10:45. More information is available at our website, www.redhousebaptistchurch.com, or by calling the church office, 859-623-8471.